ton of work play-by-play wise and on location with the show. And so it'll be us and then to the national network. And then a little bit later on, the Giants limping home after losing three in a painful way, particularly the one game of the three in Arizona. And they'll play the White Sox tonight. The A's will be in San Diego, and we have NBA basketball, both conference finals, as far as the lineup throughout the weekend goes. So I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule beyond today, right through Memorial Day Monday, a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunko and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Remind you about it every day. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. When we go over the schedules, I will tell you more about the great fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Our great friend Matt Norville with us today. We're going to talk softball because we're in the midst of the super regionals there. I want to talk to Matt about the Bulldog basketball team and a little bit of conversation about the NBA because we're going to have the games on for you, as I just mentioned. So we'll get to Matty in just a moment. But first, as always, other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, starting with our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Terrific local people, Ben and Sen Cal in Northern California. Since 1981, you see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work, even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, very timely. Anything you need, give them a call at 825-5337, 825-LEES, or you can go to the web to schedule your appointments at leesair.com. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how you can reach Bill over the air with your questions and how we have guests like Matt Norville coming up. Mark that down, 559-320-1430. As far as forecast goes, we've talked about this. There have been some blistering hot Memorial Day weekends. I think about a regional here, baseball regional at the time when we didn't have super regionals. And Fresno State hosted a lot of those six-team regionals. There was one in 1984 that it was so unbelievably hot that there was a shortstop for San Diego State. And keep in mind, of course, San Diego not used to that weather. A guy by the name of Flavio Alfaro, who was a pretty good player, and he was physically ill. He was throwing up in the dugout between innings because it was so hot. And by the time things ended up on Monday, I think it was Fullerton and San Diego State left, I had the commitment to call the entire regional, no matter who was playing. And trust me, by the time we got to Monday, it was me and those two teams and nobody else in the stands. I'm telling you right now, that's all there. That's before the days, by the way, of the press box. We had just refurbished Biden, but we didn't have the press box yet. It was 4 or 5 days of absolute misery. So I say that because the 96 today is still pleasant, 94 tomorrow, and then over the weekend, we really cool down. The breezes come up. We're looking at a 90 by the time we get to Sunday, and on Memorial Day Monday, 88. That's pretty amazing. And the projection for Tuesday right now is 79 degrees. Again, with the winds up, be careful because those winds could gust up to 25 miles an hour. And then we go 82, 86, 89, 92, 93 in the 10-day. So as we head toward June, there's nothing to complain about in regard to this weather. Enjoy the weekend. I keep saying it, though. I know it's the unofficial start of summer, and I know a lot of family gatherings, a lot of barbecues, but please keep in mind what Memorial Day is all about, because it is to honor those that sacrifice so much so that we can do what we do right now and have the freedoms that we have. And so I just want to make sure that as much as it's a celebratory time for a lot, that you keep in mind what Memorial Day is really all about. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather and anything you need. Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, these are the people to see. 825-5337, 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web to schedule your appointments. Final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend, longtime sponsor. That's Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe has been a benefactor at Fresno State for over 3 decades. In his 26th year right now of his outstanding business over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. That's where you find Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade, chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there. under one roof. Talk about this all the time. If you're working around a valve, if you're a plant maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, working around a boiler, you have a dairy, anybody who relies upon a valve for the productivity of your business, if that valve goes down, your business can go down with it, and your bottom line takes that catastrophic hit. One of the great aspects of Joe's business, not only the superior components, but the personalized same-day service, same-day estimates, the ability to sit with you and listen closely to what you need, analyze that, and get you up and running to full song in a big hurry. If it's a minor hit, you won't even notice that Joe has been able to jump in there so quickly. There will be a seamless transition. If you've already had a major problem, we'll get that taken care of as soon as possible to make sure that you don't take that big hit. And what Joe will do for you after he addresses the needs of your business is ask you if you have a few minutes so he can tell you what he has done to benefit Fresno State. One of the guys stepping forward, and he has for years, to try to make things better. And right now, because of NIL and everything we talk about every day, it's really important the grassroots effort is there. And Joe will tell you right now, if you have a few minutes, how to donate to Fresno State, the best avenue, as we tell you every day. Head to the main website at GoBulldogger.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Club Red, which is for former student athletes to get involved, that's right there. The major giving societies, the Green Bee Society, Myers Champion Circle, they have their links. And then under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, the matching funds grouping. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me every week to talk basketball on the board of directors of timeout club. He said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. It's a great social gathering, but also a lot of inside information. So if you want more information about joining quarterback club, Jack said, call him directly, 559-287-3305. That's his cell. Or hit him up on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. You'll also find other links there for sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball, and there's men's and women's sports beyond that, also right there under sports clubs. And then finally, the singular word link, more, will tell you about just that. More information on campus, tickets and parking for all events, other information pertinent to Fresno State. So again, everything is there at GoBulldogs.com. And we thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing me the time to do that. And thank Joe for everything he does for the community as a whole. So thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ed Dunkel. Thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. And I'll tell you more about Ed's fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, a bit later on. Right now, on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our great friend, the outstanding voice of the women's program at Fresno State on radio and TV, and also frequently on the men's games, it is Matt Norville. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Matt. A lot to talk about today. I wanted to address one thing here quickly. I had the question, and we're going to talk NBA a little bit later on, is how in the world do the Oklahoma City Thunder tell the two Jalen Williams apart? Okay, here's the deal. Jalen Williams from Santa Clara is from Arizona originally, in the state of Arizona. He is J-Dub. Jalen Williams from Arkansas is J-Will. That's how they do it. We'll talk more about that later. By the way, the one Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, again, is having hamstring problems and is questionable tonight. We'll go over that a little bit later on. Matt, I want to start with softball because you and I have talked about this. The early days, and one more time, the NCAA took over women's softball in 1982. There were Cinderellas, and I'm not saying Fresno State was a Cinderella because the Bulldogs at that time, they, UCLA, and Arizona were in contest every year for national championships. But you had Cal State Fullerton win a title. You had Cal Poly Pomona at one point in that final eight at the College World Series in Sunnyvale. We know, Matt, that money walks, talks, and does handsprings. And we talked about this, the combination of that which funnels to NIL and the transfer portal, which allows for freedom of movement, is a deadly combination. But I look right now at the super regionals, and there is no Cinderella. It's all P4 schools. Cal Baptist in the regional had a moment where they had UCLA against the ropes down at the Jackie Robinson, but they weren't, or no, excuse me, down at softball diamond adjacent to Jackie Robinson Field down in Westwood. UCLA rallied, ended up winning their regional. Nova, St. Mary's had a moment or two, but they couldn't get out either. Have we seen the end of even the opportunity for Cinderella to make that Final Eight?
In my opinion, Tony, yeah. It's just, what do they say about the NBA? They say that usually the best team wins. Why? Is because you have to beat them four times. Well, in softball, you have to beat them twice. And so you might get them once, but can you get them twice? And then if you were able to get them twice, are you then able to get another P4 in that regional as well, then move to a super and then beat them two out of three when you're going to be the road team as a mid-major? You just are. That's the problem. I don't see it, man. It's so hard. And to put it into perspective, Tennessee is up 2-0 on Georgia. And Sophia Knight, who played at Boise last year, hit the 2-run home run that has them at the lead. I mean, okay, so you go, well, she would be at Boise. Well, she's not. Why isn't she at Boise? Well, because she got a shot at getting the College World Series national title, and they're going to give her some NIL money. She's batting over .400. So I just think it's tough. It's tough to keep players. It's tough to keep kids in this climate. And when you look at, I kind of broke it down, Tony, when I was looking at all the sports. I looked at volleyball, women's basketball, and softball. And I just looked at the two conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten. Well, out of the Sweet 16 in volleyball, there were 8 of the 16 teams were from the SEC or the Big Ten. And women's basketball is 9 of the 16. And in softball, it's 11 of the 16. They just have all the money. They're going to have all the facilities. They're going to have the deeper pockets. And then what happens now is you've just got better competition in those conferences because of all the conference realignment. Like, you look at UCLA and Arizona State are in the Super Regional, but that's now a Big Ten, Big 12 school. Oklahoma and Texas, that's now an SEC school. So you just have combined the powers. It's not as spread out anymore. And then with the addition of money, with the addition of the regionals, you have to win 2 out of 3. It's hard to keep kids. I'll be honest, Tony, I just don't see it happening. I know you touched on it. St. Mary's almost had Mississippi State beat. They really had them beat in game one. And then they lose. Then they have to come through the loser's bracket. They knock off Oregon that night after they beat Idaho State. And then you're sitting there and you got to beat Mississippi State twice. Like, it's just tough, man. It really is. And the St. Mary's team is one of those teams I was kind of looking at, Tony, for a lot of reasons. They knocked off Washington twice this year. They beat Stanford once, and they beat Oregon. So you just think of all the P4 teams that they beat, all in the NCAA tournament, and they still didn't get out of a regional. So, and you're asking me, can they get to a College World Series? I think it's just tough this day and age, and I know we've talked about it a lot, where I said a great year is a super regional and a good year is getting to the NCAA tournament. And I think that's where your expectations have to be. I know it hurts, but until you get a ton of money and you've got the facilities, and even then you're not playing in one of those major conferences, it's tough. Grand Canyon had a very good team. They couldn't beat Nebraska. And then you had Texas State. They didn't get out of the Florida regional. They lost to Georgia Tech to start. So it's just tough, Tony. And I think this is the new age of softball.
One final thing about this, and we have talked about the inequity, and obviously, you know, I'm not making Wilson Jack the poster child, but seriously, if he's going to get $1.2 million for going to DePaul basketball-wise, I do have to wonder about the sanity of all of this. But beyond that, we talk so often about the major sports, and I'm talking football and men's basketball. I'm not diminishing the import for those that play the games. I'm just saying, as far as the national consciousness, it's focused collegiately, fundamentally, across the country. If you want something that's being painted with a broad brush, it's about football and men's basketball, and mainly about football. We talk about that movement, that freedom of movement and those monies. At least in those sports, there are a multiplicity of teams, albeit at the P4 level, that can win. With, and I'm not going to call them minor sports, but Olympic sports that are not as high profile as football and men's basketball are across the spectrum. So, you know, volleyball, women's basketball, which I know it's a growing sport, I get it. Softball, even baseball for the men. Are we more susceptible to monies altering those sports more than even the major sports, because there are so few haves that have that bankroll. I guess what I'm asking, Matt, is an even greater impact, the monies, with a softball program than it would be with a football or men's basketball program? Is it more? Is the problem more acute when one or two players moving across the country can change everything?
Yeah, that's kind of a two-part question in a way, because money obviously affects everything. It just comes down to, in those other sports, if you're willing to put more money into it, where schools are sitting there saying, we're putting our money in football and men's basketball, but then you have extra money where you're saying, hey, I'm going to put a lot more money into softball or volleyball or something right. like that, then yeah, you can affect it. And the reason is, take a look at the example, Texas Tech. Texas Tech in softball was not considered a great softball program. What they go out and do, they got a mid-major coach at the University of Louisiana who's outstanding. He goes to Tech. NIL goes, we'll take Kennedy, a team that Stanford got to the semifinal of the College World Series, and all of a sudden they get to the championship game last year. They just knocked off Florida in game one here today. I mean, that's what Texas Tech is doing. So, yes, you can make an impact if you're willing to spend that kind of money on that sport. You can definitely make an impact, and you can turn a program over pretty quickly, because if you think about it, as soon as they spent that money, they turned the program around. Keep in mind, they took the number one player in the country in Kennedy, but right. it's not like Stanford wasn't offering her a lot of money. Stanford was her dream school coming out of Kansas, and then all of a sudden she goes 2 years, and it wasn't like they didn't have success. She had success, the team had success, and then she goes, but I'm going to go to Texas Tech, and I don't fault her for that decision one bit, but that's how it all of a sudden swung, and now you look at it, and Stanford had a really good year and a really good offensive team. But they were missing that superstar ace, and so they couldn't get out of the regional. And Kennedy is one game away from four straight College World Series in her career. And so, yeah, it can make a big difference. You can do the same thing with women's basketball, and you can do the same thing with volleyball. And yeah, it's the undercurrent of, if you've got a rich donor who's willing to put money in the sports that aren't men's basketball, and football, you can make an immediate impact. You just got to be willing to do that. And for the most part, unless it's a P4 school, most people aren't putting money into those type of programs, because if they're going to put money in, they're going to give it to a football or a men's basketball. But yeah, if all of a sudden you just said, hey, instead of giving that money to football, let's give some of that money to softball, you can turn things around pretty quickly.
Yeah, if you don't have the depth of talent across the country that you do in the more traditional sport, and that's an evolutionary process, obviously, the greater the impact when you cherry pick the upper echelon player, because you don't have as many. And to your point about Kennedy, and we've talked about this, and you're absolutely right, Maddie, she not only left one of the great academic institutions in the world in Stanford, her dream school, she left with a $600,000 yearly offer on the table at Stanford. She left for $1 million that she got last year and already promised it for this year. So, yeah, she made out real well financially, but it's not like she didn't have a viable offer at Stanford. It couldn't match what, one more time, a benefactor at Texas Tech who's got $4 billion at his disposal. I'm not saying he's spending it all in Texas Tech. I'm saying the man is retired and he has $4 billion burning a hole in his pocket, and he has become the king of Lubbock. And good for him and good for Texas Tech. I'm sure Fresno State would love to have somebody with $4 billion saying, you know what, I'm going to make Fresno State the preeminent school in the United States. And that's my mission. And I'm sure that Saul and Garrett Classy and everybody would say, come on down, right? Just bring Drew Carey over to say, come on down, all right? Because the price would be right, that's for sure. But that's where we're at right now. And look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Matt, I did want to ask you.
Hold on, Tony. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. So here's the interesting thing. And obviously, I broadcast football. I broadcast all these sports. And football, obviously, is the biggest sport. But the key is, if you have a donor that, let's say, has that kind of money and they want to give money, what's the school telling them to give to? They're probably telling them, give it to the football program. And what you're sitting there saying is, if you have that kind of money, you could honestly give it to a softball, a women's basketball, a volleyball, a baseball, and now you've got power in a bunch of different sports. But they will, for the most part, most schools in the country will try to funnel that money to football or men's basketball because those are, quote-unquote, the two prime sports. And that's where the trickiness comes in. A lot of people have money and a lot of people will donate, but they're not donating to those other sports where if you spread it out more, you could actually have a power all year round. Instead, they're going to focus it on those two big sports. And I think that's another undercurrent that's really not talked about enough.
And that's a fair comment. And specifically at Texas Tech, as much as you have the one benefactor with the $4 billion, to my knowledge, he was not the one who made the offer to Kennedy. That was a private couple beyond he. Supporters, specifically of softball, who made the $1 million offer. But you are correct. And by the way, if you have that kind of resource, if you are talking about billions of dollars, you can go ahead and make your school 9 months a year upper echelon. There are very few schools that have that kind of benefactor behind them. And, you know, we've talked about this in jest. Fertig and I have talked about it over and over again. If Steve Ballmer at last check with $82 billion, just, you know, banging around somewhere in a bank account, invested in certain places. But if Steve Ballmer decided he wanted to take Podunk, Iowa, and turn a major institution into that particular school, if there were one there, then, you know what, it could happen, I guess. I guess if you wanted to take, you know, Ithaca or Slippery Rock or whatever and just make an example of it, you could do that, right?
Definitely. You could do that. I mean, it's one of those things when you've got money, you can do a lot with it, especially in the new age of college athletics where you're paying kids legally. So it's just, there's a lot of things that need to change with college sports. I always say I don't mind the kids getting money. That doesn't even bother me at all. I just think that we've got to get to a point where there's at least rules that are being set that can be followed. And the only way to do that, I know we've talked about it, is having a union and having a collective bargaining agreement. I'm fine with that. Even if you said, let's keep no salary cap, I'm fine with that. But if we can get rules where we can have a collective bargaining agreement and we can say you're only playing 5 years of college sports, we can say you're signing a contract and you can't get out of that contract, and we can say things like that, there's a buyout clause, that in a nutshell will slow things down a lot and fans will have a better grasp of what it is. I know you've got a lot of people that are stuck on the old ways of college, but that's long gone, man. I mean, you've got issues going on right now in high school where you've got high school kids that have NIL deals, and you've got high school kids, especially in a sport like a baseball, where they're going to get drafted, and now they've got to decide, hey, am I drafted high enough where I will actually make more money than if I go to college? I mean, right. There's just so many things going on right now in college athletics that I feel like if you get the right people in the room and you really try to do something, I believe that you've got to have athletes in that room as well, because you've got to have – everybody's got to have a bit of a compromise, and you've got to look to the future and kind of just settle this down a bit, because all I read and all I see and all I hear are coaches that continue to complain about it, but they don't have an alternative plan. So I was always taught in life that if you're going to complain about something, you've got to come to the table with an idea. Otherwise, you're just complaining to complain. And so I think you just got to get people in a room and try to get this situated. But like I say, it's going to be tough because right now it's benefiting the big schools. And why would I change if it's benefiting me?
Well, that's the political hot potato that we've talked about. And, you know, it is a multi-layered problem. We've talked about it over and over again, and that is, politically, do you want to step into that minefield when there are matters more pressing in many people's minds across the country? And there are also those that sport is so important they do not want to see their university, whatever it might be, of the P4, be diminished. They're more concerned about competitive balance within the P4s, not competitive balance across the country. People that are tired of the conversation, I get it. It just becomes very relevant when we have things like the College World Series for softball right around the corner. And, of course, for the men, they're getting ready for Super Regionals next week, and then we'll see how it plays out there as well. Matt, speaking,
and by the way, Tony, just to kind of give you a quick update, just so you know what this college landscape's like, Nebraska's leading Oklahoma State 3-0, and Jesse Farrell, who played at UNLV last year, just hit the three-run home run. So the two Mountain West kids that were in the conference last year are the reasons that their teams are winning the game. Tennessee just went 2-1 on a two-run home run from Knight, who was at Boise, and Farrell's given them the 3-0 lead, and she was at UNLV. You just can't keep those kids anymore, Tony.
Now, that's the thing. They used to play in our conference routine. And by the way, College World Series for the women starts next week in Oklahoma. For the men, they're 2 weeks back of that. You have the conference tournaments going on right now, then the regionals and super regionals in the ensuing weeks. And as we know, you can go all the way till the end of June. It was June 25th when Fresno State won the national title back in Omaha in 2008. So we're stretching in close to July. Matt, since you brought it up, not to talk about NIL or transfer portal, but the inequity, and you were saying, you know, learn to deal with NIL. Vance has made it clear that it's not NIL that drives him crazy. It's transfer portal, and the combination of the two obviously are deadly. But I'm just wondering here, when you look at the Fresno State roster that you're seeing right now, and I know one more time, and we've talked about it over and over again, you can't take the grouping of talent without them having familiarity with one another and think they're going to perform at their optimum. Understanding that, understanding you have very limited time to put the group together, from a sheer talent standpoint, are you impressed by what you are seeing so far for this roster coming up for this particular academic year, basketball-wise, for the men of 26-27?
Yeah, on paper, I'll be honest with you, on paper, I think they have a slightly more talented team than last year. I think K.J. Perry, I would be very curious to see what he does. Obviously, I feel like I already know what I am unique. I just want to see what kind of development he had in a year where he was at Wichita State. I know we've talked about it before, but I like the kid from UT Martin. I know he got hurt, but I feel like Lungu, it could bring them something. And then, obviously, they signed a former McDonald's All-American, and you just hope he gets back to that level. He's 6'11 from Senegal. And so I do like the route that they're going, but it's like anything. It's just names on a sheet, and you're just looking at it on paper, and it's going to be how they mesh and how Coach Wahlberg and his staff develop the players in a short time and then what they do in that system. But overall, I actually think they have a little bit more talent than they have last season, and last year's team had more talent than the season before. And this is one of the reasons I know we had this conversation earlier in the year, and you were saying, what would you do with Coach Wahlberg? And I said, part of it is continuity. Right. But I said, it's not continuity with the team. It's continuity with the coaches. You know, it's another year under his belt that he understands the transfer portal in the NIL. It's another year under his belt that he's building relationships. I think going to the pack in basketball definitely helps. I really do. It's another year that you're trying to build and get money into a program where now people know you a little bit more. And I know a lot of people in the area have known Coach Wahlberg for a long time, but when you get a college job, it's a lot different than high school and JC. So I just think that all of those factors, this team is going to have a little bit more talent than last season's team. It's just going to come down to, A, can you stay healthy, and B, what can you do? Do you lose Hybreeder, obviously, with your leading scorer? Do you feel like someone on your roster can be another Hybreeder, or is it two players kind of take the place of Hybreeder? That's a question for the staff. You sit here and you say, okay, no Gorey. Well, do you have someone that they can take that spot? I actually think they have a little bit more talent. I think they're a little bit more athletic as well than last season, which I think is something we talked about kind of in the offseason of what I felt like they needed. They needed a few more athletes. And I look at length. I love the length that he has. I'm kind of like Jay Billis, and I talk about the length a lot, but it is such a key factor in basketball. I mean, you look in the NBA, part of what makes Wimby so tough, it's not that he's 7'5". It's just once he puts his arm up, look how long he is. So I think length is a big deal. So I do like the direction they're going. It's still early, obviously. You're going to get a chance over the summer to kind of work as a team and develop and try to get that system and figure out people's roles. But, yeah, I definitely feel like this team's a little bit more talented than the last couple of years.
Well, we'll certainly talk about it as we roll through the summer and head toward basketball. Before that, obviously, football. I want to remind people again, will be the flagship of Fresno State Athletics once again beginning on July 1. We look forward to that. And I noticed today in the San Jose Mercury News, and it's an interesting situation because you had Wilner up there covering everything that was pertinent to a Fresno State conference. Now, all of a sudden, San Jose State will not be part of the conference, though Wilner, like Canzano and John, has a reason to cover things because you have Oregon State and Oregon, one in the PAC, the other in the Big Ten, of course. But you're still having the San Jose Mercury News doing the rundown for what we're going to see in the PAC, and it came out today that the favorites, not surprisingly, Boise State, Washington State, Fresno State. Is that how you see it, football-wise, Matt, that it's going to be those three schools?
Yeah, and honestly, that's kind of how I see it year in, year out. I mean, you might get an Oregon State that pops in. You might get a San Diego State. But I think year in, year out, those are really the three schools I kind of look at as the favorites in the conference. I would agree with that completely. I mean, Coach Entz won 9 games last year in its first year, and everyone knows when you hire a first-year head coach, there's a lot of other things going on. They always get kind of a late start to the party, and I think they're going to be better this season as well. But, yeah, I would definitely say those are kind of the three teams that I would pick, and obviously Boise 1, Washington State 2, and Fresno State 3. You could maybe flip the order if you wanted to, but, yeah, I feel like that is going to be kind of the recipe, I believe, personally, in the conference pretty much every year. And maybe there's a few exceptions where San Diego State might pop in, or we'll see what happens as Texas State puts more money in their football program. But, yeah, that's exactly how I kind of see fit. And we'll just see what they do on the field, because like we always say in sports, right, it's not one on paper, it's one on the field.
And it's good to see that the bowl game situation may be more viable than originally thought. So, you know, we'll obviously spend the entirety of the summer talking about football as we lead up to the start on that Friday night now, September 4 at the Coliseum against USC. And one more time, USC will have a slight advantage in that they scheduled belatedly that opener against San Jose State, which was not on the original schedule. So the Trojans will be playing their second game of the season on that Friday night, and the Bulldogs will be playing their first, and we'll obviously have a lot of time to discuss it rolling toward that. Matt, before I let you go, I appreciate the time. We won't have a segment next week because of the altered schedule. And during the summer, whenever you have time, and I'll certainly give you a list of when we're not preempted by the Giants or the schedule isn't slid back. I'd love to have you on. I hope we're able to continue the visits over the summer. But I did want to ask you, since you are, like me, a big basketball guy, your feeling, and we're going to have both conference finals on our air. We've got game 3 coming up tonight with OKC and in San Antonio. That's on 790. And then we will have the Knicks and the Cavs from Cleveland, and we'll continue flip-flopping over the weekend with the Giants and A's also having their games on. So it'll be baseball and basketball. So let me ask you about the basketball situation, starting with the fact that health is a major issue tonight. Both Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox are questionable. That's a very big deal for San Antonio. Jalen Williams, questionable. Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, the outstanding forward, is questionable because of his hamstring issues. Do you think that anybody is going to win 2 in a row in this series, or is this going to be home court doesn't mean much? It's going to be a kind of a hopscotch deal, and if that's the case, we're going to see a game 7 that I guess OKC would then win in 7, right, if that were the case?
I definitely see this series going 7 games. They're very even. They're going to make adjustments. I mean, you might get a team that wins 2 and then the other team wins 2 in a row. Man, it's tough. I would say if it does go 7, you would say on paper it gives OKC the edge, but I don't necessarily believe that, only because I always put stock into great players. And Wimby is the best player on the court, in my opinion. I think he's better than SGA. So I would just say that Wimby affects the game more, and he's a better player, that if it wasn't a game 7, I think Wimby's going to have a big game, and then the Spurs could win in game 7. I think if I'm OKC, I want this done in 6. I don't want to see a game 7 if I'm OKC. Getting back to your point on the injuries, those are huge, man. Harper, he's a game-time decision. Fox is still working on that ankle, and if they're missing – you've got Castle, who's running the point, and I'm telling you what, Castle, I love his game. He's such a good player.
Right.
But he's struggling turning the basketball over because he's not really a true point guard, and that is a killer for San Antonio. So you just need at least get Fox back, and maybe you give Harper another day with that hamstring. But those are two huge losses for the Spurs. I think the Spurs, even with all that said, I think playing in front of their home crowd, I think they get game three. It's game four that I think could determine the series, in my opinion. I think the winner of game four wins that series, just because if the Spurs are up 2-1, you have to win that if you're San Antonio, because if the OKC wins it, then they go home for game five, and then it could be, you know, down 3-2 coming back. And so right. I just think game four is such a pivotal game, no matter what happens here tonight. And I believe that's exactly what the coaches probably think. Obviously, they're not going to say that. But if you see Fox being held out a little bit and Harper held out, it's because they're saying, hey, we just got to make sure they're good to go for game four, in my opinion. And then on the flip side, the New York series, man, NBA's got to love the spot they're in right now. I mean, all the Knicks have to do is win two games, and they're in the NBA Finals. Jalen Brunson, a Chicago kid, I mean, he looks unbelievable right now. The Knicks as a whole look unbelievable. And then if the Knicks are in the finals, you could either face Wimby, the future great player in this league, or OKC trying to defend the title. I mean, that's perfect for the NBA. They've got to love it.
Yeah, the fact that New York is there, they're already, you know, shooting off the fireworks there at Madison Avenue, particularly at ABC, because they know that as long as the Knicks are there, even though probably behind the scenes, since they love to market players, they probably would like to market Wimby a little bit more than SGA, even though you're right, it's still compelling because you're talking, if you're talking about OKC, the defending champions, but they really can't lose. I think right now NBC is looking at it saying, you know what, wish we had the finals, because I think people know how it's been divided as we finally reach the conference finals. ABC, by rotation, ABC and ESPN happen to have the East. Well, NBC has the West, but the finals still belong to ABC and that $78 billion contract. I'll tell you this, the one thing, Matt, that I find amusing or maybe bemusing about the national media is right now they are excoriating the Cavs for their poor performance in game two and talk about what a disappointment they are. And, you know, I've talked about this. It's my Scott Norwood example, okay? I know people in Buffalo love to hear that name. But that Super Bowl, when the Giants were able to win because Norwood missed a makeable field goal from 47 yards, after the game ended down in Tampa, the assembled media was talking about why Buffalo lost the game, and they're saying, you know what, well, here's what happened. Jim Kelly didn't get them close enough for the final field goal, or they weren't able to stop Otis Anderson, O.J. Anderson, for the Giants. And these are all the reasons. And I was thinking to myself, because I was there, yeah, and if that kick goes 10 feet to the left, all your analysis goes right out the window. Okay, we're just gone. Okay, so everything you just said is predicated upon the fact that Scott Norwood missed a makeable field goal. So all of the reasons you want to say why Buffalo lost, they lost because a guy didn't make a field goal that he was capable of making, period. I bring this up because people that are bagging on Cleveland, remember, they had a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. If they don't choke that away, Matt, this game two could have been exactly the same, but the narrative would be, repeat after me, the Cavs got what they came to get, a split in New York. I'm not saying they're not in trouble. I'm saying sometimes to rip into a team that blew a game as opposed to being dominated twice is a little bit unfair. You can say they lost focus, but you can't say they were dominated twice. You just can't do it, you know?
Not at all, Tony. And that's what makes sports sports. It's fine margins. That's what separates a win from a loss. And that's why sometimes when fans will ask me, they'll say, hey, what do you think happened here? And I'll say, they just lost. Sometimes there's nothing more than that. You bring up that Super Bowl in New York. Well, Buffalo just lost. Sometimes, yes, you get outplayed. Sometimes, yes, you get outcoached. And then there's games where you just lose. I mean, I said it last season with Fresno State and San Diego State in the conference championship game. There were two great games. there was nothing I saw that was a mismanaged situation. San Diego State just beat Fresno State in two great games twice. That's all that happened. Sometimes you just get beat. And so, yeah, the narrative, it always makes me laugh. It's like, yeah, they're up 22. I mean, there's a lot of things can happen. And then on the flip side, look at San Antonio. If Wemby doesn't hit that deep three, OKC probably wins game one. They're up 2-0 in the series. And that's what makes sports sports, and that's what makes it fun when you get to this time of year, because the teams are so close, the talent is so close, that really it's just, you hear coaches all the time say it, it's fine margin, and sometimes you just get beat, and the Cavs just kind of melted in game one and then got beat in game two. I don't think it's really much more than that, but now you're down 2-0, and what does Charles Barkley always say? The series doesn't start anyway until the team wins at home, wins on the road. So Cleveland, if they take care of business in game three and win game four, all of a sudden, game five is huge.
You're right. I don't expect them to do it. I expect the Knicks to go back to Madison Square up 3-1. But I'm just saying, you know, the hypotheticals. You know, one more time. Matt, how many times, right? Yeah, right. And if my aunt had you-know-what, she'd be my uncle, right? I mean, it's always there all the time. that's how life works in general. Matt, I appreciate it. Listen, have a very meaningful and outstanding Memorial Day weekend. Like I said, next week we're all chunked up on air, but I'll certainly get back to you and we'll get things figured out over the summer. Really appreciate your time, my friend. Take care.
As always, Tony, anytime.
All right. Our great friend, Matt Norvell. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about schedule, and we'll get back to the national network. Phil has the day off, deservedly so. Los Gigantes limping home after a good start to a road trip. Here's how you ruin a road trip, ladies and gentlemen. You win the first two at Dodger Stadium, and then you lose six of the next eight the rest of the way. Well, you got the White Sox. They're better than they were a few years ago. We'll see what happens tonight. I'll talk about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Back 252, a few minutes ago on the show. Thanks, as always, to Joe for his great work today, and thanks to Matt Norvell for his time. We are off till Tuesday, and one more time, have a great and meaningful Memorial Day weekend out there. Now, as far as the upcoming schedule, brought to you by our great friend Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500. Or precisionemg.net. We commend Ed each and every day for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. The goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering, one of the best civil engineering companies you're going to find anywhere on the planet. Far as the lineup goes, tonight we'll have Game 3, OKC in San Antone on 790. The Giants will be on a little bit later on, 655. It's a later start tonight on 1430. Then over the weekend, we will have both the Eastern and Western Conference games for the NBA. And the Giants will continue with the White Sox. And the A's will be in San Diego against the Padres. On Monday, the Giants have the D-backs and the A's have the Mariners, and that's the lineup before we get back with you on Tuesday with the show. Also remind you that normally Phil is on 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good buddy Rod Avedikian, who right now is in the midst of the 66th annual Memorial Day sale, a Paso across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. And when Phil is there, you have a chance to talk to Phil directly or give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Always some good eats as well around when Phil is in person at Fashion Furniture. Paul Metters has a fine show on Saturday mornings from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon, Central Valley Sports Report. Check that one out. We're with you 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at att.net, TDAD. The number one at att.net. First names are fine. I mentioned I can't get back to you guys privately right now because the doctors keep stealing my cell phone from me because I won't behave myself as I go through these procedures. All orthopedic, by the way, but still a royal pain in the rear end for me And I am, as I've said before, the world's worst patient. I am, as I said the other day, the impatient patient, and every doctor will tell you that, that I deserve to be punted around, if possible, for the way I behave, which I've been told for almost 70 years anyway by my family, so it doesn't surprise me. Like water off a duck's back, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, want to remind you everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Final thank yous, beyond thanks to Joe and to Matt Norville, go out to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks one and all. And remember, again, we'll be the flagship for Fresno State beginning on July 1. Please get involved with Bulldog Sports Enterprises. It will benefit Fresno State in this ever-changing world of college athletics. See you guys on Tuesday. Have a meaningful and great Memorial Day weekend. This is KFIG Fresno.